All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Well, notice here, we'll look at verses 7 and following. Let me just read down through this. I don't know if you read through the New Testament very often. I try to read through the New Testament every month or so. And so I come to this quite frequently, but I want to kind of delve into a little bit here tonight. And this is probably the last take heed. We'll see that in verse 12. But let's just look at the context here, verses 7 and following. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This is, by the way, a quote from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11 here. Notice here it says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter to my rest. Again, that's a quote from Psalm 95. Then here's our verse, as we'll focus on this one in particular. Take heed, brethren. Notice who it's written to. It's not written to unsaved people. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Then also drop down into verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Notice here the third word in is therefore. Chapter and verse divisions simply help us find things. So notice it says in verses 1 and 2, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I don't know if you're getting much out of the Take Heed series, but I am. Because just by way of example, I was reading through the Gospel of Mark here recently in my own personal Bible reading. And I don't remember which chapter it was now. I think it's chapter 14 or 13, somewhere around in there. I had not paid attention that there's actually three or four Take Heeds in the same chapter. And all of a sudden, you know, since I've been doing this study, that phrase has jumped off the page to me. Notice it says here in verse 12 again, take heed, brethren. So again, it's written to believers. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I want you to think, those of you especially have been saved for a while. I want you to think back over the years and think about those that you knew at one time were serving God. Boy, they were excited about serving the Lord and they were going to church faithfully and all of those things. But where are they now? I'm sure you can think of somebody in your mind, if you've been saved any time, those who have been in church and serving the Lord in the past, many, some, in some cases, are not serving the Lord today. I want you to think about this. This is why this warning is given to, first of all, the Hebrews. Let me just give you a brief background here. The book of Hebrews was written to Hebrews, telling them to stop being Hebrews. Basically, this is written to Jewish believers who are suffering for the cause of Christ. They're suffering great persecution. In fact, just by way of reminder, I think we saw this verse here, the passage recently, or I may have read it to you or something. Notice here Hebrews 10, verses 32 and following. Let me show you just some of the things that they experienced suffering for Christ. Like I said, I believe I mentioned this passage here recently. But verse 32, it says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. Notice they suffered greatly. And partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Let me remind you that if not by this time, at least shortly after this, they were even thrown to wild beasts for the entertainment of the crowds in Rome. Those are the kinds of things that they experienced for the cause of Christ. Verse 34. But ye had compassion of me in my bonds. All right, so he was in prison. That's why some believe that this is the Apostle Paul writing. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Back in Hebrews chapter 3, basically what the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't bail out in times of suffering. They were tempted to go back into the Jewish religion just so they could avoid persecution. In fact, Galatians 6 even talks about that. You know, why were they compelling people to keep the Old Testament law so that they would not suffer for the cause of Christ? So again, as we understand this, let me just say, first of all, we're not talking about a loss of salvation here. You know, we even saw that Sunday morning. But again, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, lest we think that we can't fall into a trap of unbelief, one of the things that Jesus challenged his disciples about most often probably was their lack of faith. Why didn't you unbelieve? In fact, I just reading the Gospels again, it says that he in essence chastised them for their unbelief. They were slow to believe even after Christ rose from the dead. Jesus said that he was going to rise from the dead, and yet they would not believe, it says in Mark 16 and other places, they would not believe what was told them regarding the resurrection. So again, we can fall into the trap of unbelief. In fact, I believe that's what Hebrews 12 is talking about, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Some people kind of generalize that, you know, besetting sins. I believe in the context, that's unbelief. Because all of chapter 11 deals with faith, the great faith chapter. All of chapter 11 deals with faith. And then the writer of Hebrews talks about the sin that thus so easily, the sin, there's a particular sin. All of us can fall into the trap of unbelief or a lack of faith from time to time. So what strengthens us? What helps us from going back, stop serving the living God? And as it says here, departing from the living God. What helps us to stay on course? First of all, notice verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So notice there's exhortation. What do we mean by exhortation? Again, I want for us to understand Bible terms. What do we mean by the word exhortation? Encouragement, all right?
Affirmation.
All right?
To stay the course.
All right? You can do this. Keep serving the Lord, all right? So it's kind of an exhortation. It's charging them, in essence, to keep going. All right, so notice here, we're to exhort one another daily. Why? Because we need it daily. We need the daily encouragement. In fact, that's why we need the Word of God every day. We need that fresh start every day. Notice, again, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want you to consider that there is a trap that if we're not careful, we'll fall into. Well, I got away with it this time. Wow, I got away with it the second time. I believe that's kind of what he's talking about here as far as being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, God didn't come down on me that time, so it must not be so bad after all. Can I remind you that God does not pay at the end of every day? God wants us to serve him faithfully out of our own desire to please him. Now, listen to me, Hebrews chapter 10 again. Another couple of verses there. Very familiar verses. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice it says verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. All right, that's why I even said Sunday, I don't want for us to be provoking one another to anger and all those kinds of things, you know, business meetings or whatever. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, people will, you know, when we hear this passage, say, well, I'm in church. Why are you preaching to me? Let me remind you that this was written to people who were assembling so that they would not stop assembling. You know, this obviously isn't written to people who aren't in church because they're not going to hear it. So notice here, Paul probably is writing here to believers who are assembling together, who are tempted to say, you know what, this isn't worth the trouble and the struggle, the persecution. Notice, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some have fallen away. but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Notice we're to be assembling more, not less, in these last days. But that's why, again, we need the assembling together to encourage one another, to exhort one another. Back in Hebrews chapter 3, again, exhort one another daily. That helps us to stay on the path to the very end. Notice verse 14, another way that keeps us on target here. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Notice, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I want you to think back across your Christian life. Is there a time when you have been more confident in a relationship with God than you are today? I want you to think about the fact that it is often a subtle thing where we get off target. It's just one step at a time. You know, if I don't stay down a straight path, you know, just one step off, that's not real noticeable. But then when I get another step off, and another step off, notice here again it says in verse 14, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So in other words, the confidence that we had at the beginning of our faith in Christ, let's hold it until the very end. In fact, in the resurrection chapter, Paul says that we are to always be unmovable. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice here again, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Let's hold fast. Let's stand firm till the very end. We can endure just another day. Notice verse 15. While it is said today, if, notice a conditional word there, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. So notice here another challenge, and we're to not harden our hearts, even as it's already been mentioned up in verse 13. We're to not harden our hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. They provoked God to anger. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. All right, there were two or three of them, Moses, Joshua, Caleb. They didn't provoke the Lord. There was a small remnant, of course, the younger generation. Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? I take from that, they're walking along, all of a sudden they drop over dead. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to whom that believed not? Notice again that thing of unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. If we're not careful, our hearts will get hardened to the things of God. How sensitive is your heart today? How sensitive is your heart? Does God still have an opportunity to pierce our hearts, or has it become hardened? Does it take more of God's truth to pierce our hearts than it used to? All right, so don't harden your hearts. And finally, in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, there's something else. First of all, he says, fear, let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. But here's what we're to be afraid of, that the word of God will not be mixed with faith. Notice what it says in verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want you to notice what he's saying here. And I've illustrated it like this from time to time. You know, two people can be sitting next to one another in church. One gets it, and the other one doesn't. What is the difference? It's the same message. It's the same messenger. Why does one person get it and the other one doesn't? And let me just say, as far as an example of hardening hearts, if somebody sits under the preaching of the word of God, the gospel, an unsaved person sits under the preaching of the gospel time after time after time after time, there is a hardening that takes place. The illustration that I've heard over the years is this. You think about a lump of clay and wax. What happens to the clay in the sun? It'll harden, right? Yeah. What about wax? It'll melt. There's the difference. but again, somebody who's constantly exposed to the Word of God and they don't do anything about it, there's a tendency to be hardened to that. So notice again what he says here. The Word of God, the Word preached, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I know people have to talk about, they have trouble keeping up or whatever. I was told the other day that they actually like the bilingual service because it slowed me down and they could keep up with me. But you notice here again the difference, a lack of faith. Now, I want you to think about the circle of that. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. My faith is strengthened when I hear the Word of God. That's why as a preacher, I download sermons because I need the preaching just as much as anybody else does. And I'll tell you, I don't listen to any sugarcoating preachers. I listen to Mike Allison in Madison, Alabama. He's on Sermon Audio. Mike Allison, he'll tan your hide with the Word of God. He doesn't hold back. I also listen to a preacher up in Northfield, Minnesota. So I feel like a wicked sinner by the time I hear some of these preachers preach their sermons. But I need the Word of God just as much as anybody else does. But you notice again, when I hear the Word of God, my faith is strengthened. But what happens here though? If I don't have faith as I'm hearing the Word of God, what happens? Then it's not going to profit me. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But if I don't have the faith to receive that for myself, then there's going to be a problem. I want you to notice as far as faith, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, let me show you here the example of Abraham, the statement about his faith. Again, so hearing the Word of God strengthens our faith, but we have to act in faith in order for that Word to profit us. Notice it says in verse 18, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 and following, talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now wait a minute, I thought Abraham laughed when God said, you know, that you're going to have a son. I thought Sarah laughed. Yeah, they did. But you notice here it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, could Abraham have had that kind of faith 25 years before he had Isaac? I don't think so. Could Abraham have offered his son Isaac on Mount Moriah when he was 100 years old? Don't think so. Notice here the strengthening of his faith as he continued following the Lord. Notice here the statement here, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I want to show you an Old Testament example here of somebody who fell into unbelief and the consequence of it. I want you to consider that it's not just us that will be hurt by those things. Notice with me 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. I want you to show an example here of David. It's in a time when David is running from King Saul. He's already been anointed to be the next king. But as he's running from King Saul, he has a time of unbelief. And he actually walks away from God. Now, remember, the Bible itself says that David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. Notice it says here, though, in his heart, in verse 1 of chapter 27, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the, what? Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. He goes to the enemy for protection. And that's away from God. Not only that, this says in verse 2, and David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. All right, so he's going to the Philistines to live with him. But he's not going by himself. Notice here, when I go into unbelief, I drag my wife with me. And even though our sons are grown and married, I will drag them with me into unbelief. Oh, wow. Wow, if dad's walking away from God, oh, wow. But not only that, but I drag a church with me. You see, when I go into unbelief, I'm not taking myself there. 600 men plus their wives and children. Not only that, notice verse 3. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath. He and his men, every man with his household, notice the family, went with them. His wives are mentioned in verse 3. And it says in verse 4, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. All right, so did it work? Yeah, we might see some benefits of this. You know, I may see some benefits of going to the world, but they're going to have far-reaching consequences. I want you to think about this. As this chapter progresses, as he's living, it says in the end of verse 7, a full year and 4 months with the enemy. But not only that, but it says in verses 8 and following, it says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even into the land of Egypt. All right, so to pacify the Philistine king, he's going out and invading some of these people here. But I want you to think about what this chapter says. He says to the king of the Philistines, I went out and attacked some Israelites. But you know what this passage says? He slaughtered not just men, but women and children so that nobody could tell the king of the Philistines what he was doing. The king of Philistines are thinking that he's going out and fighting Israel. He's fighting his own people. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. He's now going to battle against his own nation. Where will unbelief take us? Down to the sewer. Departing from the living God. Now, do you think David is writing any psalms during this time? Don't think so. In fact, it says the Philistine leaders, the heads of the Philistines, said, what's he doing with us? They probably know he's anointed the next king. Why is he going to battle with us against Israel? Send him home. Send him home. Achish actually started defending David. Why? Because of what he had been doing. Take heed, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in us in departing from the living God. Notice with me, Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. As this father is concerned about his son, and he says to Jesus, Jesus first of all says to him in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Here's what we need to do with an element of unbelief in our lives. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But what does he say then? Help thou mine unbelief. Now, in essence, I believe he's probably saying this in this context. Lord, I believe you're able to do this. I've heard and seen the blind receive their sight. I have heard or seen the lame walking again. I've seen people healed of many different things. I've even heard you can cast out devils. You can cast out evil spirits. Lord, I believe that you're able, but help thou mine, what? Unbelief. Now, do you think God knows about our unbelief? Do you think he knows if we have an element of unbelief? Well, he knew the disciples did. You know, he knew about his own disciples. He knew their, in fact, he would often rebuke them for their unbelief. take heed, take heed. I want to see you, even if the Lord would move you somewhere else. God does that from time to time. But I want to hear of you someday, whether it's here or elsewhere, in the will of God, that you are serving God faithfully. There's a verse that I think about every once in a while. I rejoice to hear that our children, they're out of the house. They have their own households established now. But both of them are still serving God. Both of our sons, along with their wives now. And it says in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And there was a house in Midland, Texas that actually had that verse on the corner of the front of their garage. And so I would walk past that as I would be walking to the door to deliver the package. I said, thank you, Lord, for the reminder again. Thank you for sons that want to serve. I wish I could say that everyone that I've ever ministered with over the years is still serving God today. I wish I could say that. I know of many. Two of my wife's former pastors, as she was growing up, walked away from their marriages, threw away ministry, all of those things. All of us are capable of having a heart of unbelief. Take heed. Father, I want to thank you for this reminder tonight. Even as the Hebrews were given this reminder, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take heed lest there is in us a heart of unbelief. Lord, it's a slow process, a hardening process that we don't even take notice of. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be steadfast, strong in our confidence, our faith in you to the very end. Lord, help us to beware of a hardened heart through the deceitfulness of sin. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, the heart of faith, to receive what your word has to say. Father, thank you for giving this to me personally as a reminder, Lord. I pray that you'd help us as we apply it to our hearts and lives now. In Jesus' name, amen.